You're listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse at bellydancegeek.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Nadira Jamal, the Belly Dance Geek, and welcome to episode 34 of the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. This episode is being sponsored by the Belly Dance Business Academy, where dancers can learn how to build more profitable businesses. Get more students, land bigger gigs, starting right now. Learn more at bellydancebusinessacademy.com. And if I can add a personal note to that, I've been working with the Belly Dance Business Academy almost since they began, and you wouldn't be listening to this if they hadn't helped me up my game. So I definitely recommend that you check out Julie's offerings. The Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse is a place where dancers can get together and geek out on all of those things that are hard to get in classes and on DVDs. If you want some help with the what, things like movements, combinations, choreographies, there are a lot of resources available. But if you want to learn about the why and the how, so things like musicality, culture, business, professionalism, that can be a little bit harder to find. So every month I interview a different guest expert on another geeky topic. And we always have time for question and answer, so you can geek out too. So if you think knowledge and creativity go together like chocolate and peanut butter, you are in the right place. So please welcome back to the show Nadira from Virginia. We have two Nadiras on the call today, so you know it's going to be good. Nadira is an accomplished dancer, teacher, and producer. She's the owner of Seven Cities Dance Studio and the producer of the East Coast Classic Belly Dance Festival in Hampton, Virginia. While she wears many hats, helping to build healthy dance communities is a source of much joy in her dance journey. You can learn more about Nadira at sevencitiesdance.com, and be sure to check out the East Coast Classic at eastcoastbellydance.com. You may also remember Nadira from February 2015, when she was previously on the show, and she talked about the role of the community in producing successful events. But this time around, Nadira is going to talk about how to promote yourself outside your local area. So welcome back, Nadira.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm really glad to be here, a part of a fantastic community of warm, kind people. For some of you don't know, I've had some especially challenging times in my personal life, but I am going to do my very best to give you all of the wonderful information that I have learned about how to gain recognition outside of your local area.
And we're all sending you lots of love. To get started, why don't you tell us about your belly dance story? How did you get into this?
Well, I got started in belly dance because I have a friend who is Persian. And she said, you're going to be a belly dancer. This was, 15, 16 years ago. And she started teaching me how to belly dance. And I really enjoyed it. And so then I sought out other teachers in my local area, because she didn't live nearby. And that sort of sparked a love for me in dance. It was something, as I became a wife and a mother, that, you know, got me out of the house. And then I discovered I was pretty good at it. And I just sort of caught fire for belly dance.
And tell us about your background in promotion.
So I would have to say that I had very little background in promotion when I came into belly dance. But what I realized was that if I wanted to keep belly dancing and there to be other people there besides myself, I needed to learn how to reach people.
Do we still have you, Nadira?
Yep.
Okay, great. And can you tell us a little bit about the kinds of things that you've promoted? I know we've got the East Coast Classic, and you've also been on top of a lot of other things in your community.
Of course, you start small when it comes to doing events. So I did, you know, Hofflas. I did a Benny Hofla, which I did with one of my partners. It was a comedic belly dance themed Hofla that went over really well in our local area. It was super fun. And then I went on to do some other events. I attended a fantastic event that is no longer happening called Tribe Original. And I took a workshop with Mavi, who is amazing, and she was teaching us how to start a tribal cafe. As a tribal dancer, of course, I was very interested in that topic, in our own area. And so I started a tribal cafe in Seven Cities. It's called Seven Cities Tribal Cafe, and it's a part of her tribal cafe concept. And she's been so wonderful working with us, other dancers that want to bring the tribal cafe concept. We also have a Bandit Queens Tribal Cafe in Richmond as well. And then I decided to revive the East Coast Classic 3 years ago now. And that was my biggest foray into event promotion to date. And it has grown so quickly into such a wonderful event full of fun and laughter and education and community.
Now, our topic for today is promoting outside of your local area, but I think one thing that's useful to do is to kind of take a big step back and talk about whether that's even right for you or for whoever is listening. So first off, you know, what kinds of things might dancers want to promote beyond their local community?
Well, if you, let's say you are in an area that is a little underserved for certain topics in belly dance, maybe certain specialty topics. I know I saw you were talking about maybe last month you had something on Iraqi dance, mm-hmm. and maybe there are no Iraqi dance instructors in your area. And so you might want to bring in a well-known Iraqi dance instructor. Well, in order to do an undertaking of bringing someone from outside your area, you're going to want to promote outside of the local area, because there could be another community not too far away that would like to learn that too. And so that's how you would sort of, that's the kind of event that you would want to start promoting outside of your local area. Like if you were having a workshop that had a specialty topic that other people could be interested in too.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about events. Do dancers ever want to, you know, I know one other option is to promote yourself for workshops elsewhere.
Yes. And if you are wanting to get out there and teach workshops, a great place to network and meet people and let people have an opportunity to see your particular style and what you have to offer as a belly dancer is to go to different festivals or go to different hoflas, wherever there are going to be some belly dancers getting together to enjoy themselves and have a good time, putting yourself out there and trying to be there and dancing in the show.
And is broader promotion right for every dancer?
I would say that it is not, because for every dancer is an individual, and she brings to her dance everything that she's ever experienced or her own goals, her own, the things that are important to her. So, like, say, for me, I can speak to my own area. We have a heavily military area, and one of the things that's so great about belly dance is that it is a community. And it is a, you know, our community is very kind and very sweet and very welcoming to people who just find a belly dance class. And they get out of the house and they find this great community, and it's very family friendly. And so for, say, someone who, you know, even myself, I still teach weekly classes here because I really enjoy being a part of this local community, because I have a heart for it, because it was so great for me as a new wife and mother in a military town to be able to have that. So you have to decide, like, what do you think you have to offer? If you're like, I can help another military wife get out of the house for an hour a week by teaching classes at this rec center, do it. Own it. Love it. You know, be out at your local events. Be out at the festivals. You know, get your, you know, your troops and things involved in your local area to get the word out that there is belly dance. And it's lots of fun, and it's super, you know, great for everyone. So, yeah, you know, it's wherever you are. It's, I am a teacher who maybe specializes in something that I want to share with the region. Well, now I'm going to go out to some regional hoflas and showcase that style that I've developed, or, you know, what I have to offer as a specialty instructor. you know, all the way to, you know, I'd like to be on the national touring or international touring circuit as a touring dancer.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important just, you know, to give ourselves permission to be wherever we want to be.
Yeah.
As you said, you know, just sometimes the local connection may be what you want to do. And I think that, you know, especially once you kind of get into that like earlier pro phase in your career, I think there's this kind of like pressure to be a national name. And if you're not a national name, you're not a real pro. And it's just, it's not helpful.
That's silly.
It takes a lot of the joy out of the dance. So.
It really is not. And there's so much that we can offer our communities right here, you know, right in your local area. There is such a need for this dance, I believe. And also, you know, getting to stand in front of women that you see in the grocery store and men and tell them that they're perfect, that they're awesome, and that they don't need to do anything differently, and that they're going to move and they're going to have fun.
And if somebody's thinking about whether promoting more broadly is right for them, you know, what are some of the pros and cons of working outside of your local area?
Well, it means that you work a lot of hours. It also means that, like anything else, be strategic with your time and with your resources. And that means if you're going to promote outside of your area, have a plan. If your goal is to become a workshop instructor, have a plan for the hostels where troop directors will be, for festivals where you know there'll be other festival producers. If your goal is to be hired by a theater company, then be with the theater crowd, be at theater events. If there is an opportunity for, you know, sometimes I'll have a person who goes on at the beginning, be that person, connect with the local symphony. There's wherever you want to do, you can do it, but just be strategic and have a plan.
And, you know, what are some of the benefits of promoting yourself more broadly rather than staying local?
Well, one of the biggest benefits is that you have a broader reach with whatever your message is, whatever your vision is for yourself in this dance, or whatever you feel like belly dance has given you, or what you feel like you have to offer belly dance. You get to have that vision more broadly sort of announced by having a little bit more than a local recognition. There is the opportunity to meet the most amazing people you'll ever meet. I've experienced so much kindness in my travels. I have seen, you know, I've gone to Italy and Germany, and it's been fantastic. I've seen things I never thought I would see. I've been to Cairo. I've met people I would never have met if I hadn't journeyed outside of my local community.
And what are some of the downsides or trade-offs that come when you start working outside your immediate area?
Well, it can be a lot of hours. So if you are a family person like myself, it can be very difficult to manage your schedule, manage your home and your work schedule. That's any job, managing home and work schedule. You know, if you have a partner, managing the schedule between you and your partner. And saying no, you know, deciding what for your goal is going to be most important, and saying no to the rest.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the ways that plays out for me in my own career is that I teach on Sundays. And so for me to go off and travel, if I'm going to teach a workshop or go to an event, you know, for me, that's actually a pretty serious hit income-wise. I actually have 4 classes on Sundays. It's more than half my load.
Wow.
Is just on that one day. And so there's a big financial hit if I do it. And also it kind of breaks up the momentum of the class if we have too many weeks off. And so,
yeah,
you know, I'm personally still trying to find the right balance between making room to get myself out there, but also taking care of my local students.
I teach on Mondays for that reason, and I'm often a little zombified because I've traveled. But for me, you know, being home during the week is a priority. So I, you know, do all the things I need to do twice a month. Twice a month is how often I travel, and I really hit it hard that twice a month in terms of, you know, making sure to optimize my time, and then, you know, always being home on Monday, you know, to be there for my family and to teach my classes, provide a good balance.
And, you know, you've talked about traveling twice a week. If you do promote yourself on the national circuit, do you have
to travel? Oh, I'm sorry. I meant twice a month.
I'm sorry. I meant to say twice a month. I misspoke, not you.
Twice a month is my upper limit, but there are times I travel once a month. There are months I don't travel at all. You know, I didn't travel at all in July or June just because I wanted to spend time at home. So, no, you don't have to. It's, you know, you can sort of plan out, depending on if you're traveling on the regional scale, you have much more flexibility because there's going to be a lot more regional events. If you're traveling on the national scale, you're going to have a little less flexibility because there are less national events. If it were me and I was looking to get outside of my local area and that meant grow regionally and grow nationally, I would start with regional and then add one national and do work those things sort of in tandem as you can. Because regional growth is really important because, you know, people travel. When you're a beautiful dancer who has a kind heart and is easy to work with, that gets around even faster than you will be traveling.
I think another point that's related to that that's also important is that, you know, the people in your region are close enough to come to you. I've occasionally had somebody, you know, pop in for a private lesson if they were just going to be in Boston, you know, for a vacation or a work meeting or something. And sometimes people move around within a region. You know, we think of people like moving to the other side of the country. But, you know, I had somebody join my class who, you know, was just one state lower and moved up. And, you know, that's still kind of in the, like, greater Boston commutable range.
Yeah.
And just because she moved closer, she saw me in a workshop 2 years ago and she liked me. So, you know, I think that the regional piece can also feed your local business really nicely and help, you know, kind of integrate that, your local reach.
I agree.
Excellent. You know, and how can you tell when you're ready to start marketing yourself more broadly?
As your ambition or your vision or what you feel like is important may grow, then that can be a sign that you should be marketing to a broader base. For me, when I, you know, did my Benihoffla, it was for our local dancers, and it really was just for dancers. It was, you know, fun, something, you know, that, you know, for dancers by dancers kind of thing. And then when I started doing the Tribal Cafe, that was for my Hampton Roads area where I live, you know, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, this area, just for people who maybe hadn't heard about belly dance, to see it in a sort of informal bistro style, you know, restaurant style setting, come on in. And so that was, now I'm going from just marketing to dancers to now marketing to the Hampton Roads community at large. And then when I decided to start producing the East Coast Classic, well, the East Coast Classic attracts competitors from Quebec and Puerto Rico. Our winner was from Germany. So that those ideas to do events of different types prompted the need for broader recognition and broader advertising.
And what do dancers need to consider when they start promoting outside their local area?
I think the most important thing is to know why you're doing it. You know, be focused. You know, I want to be on the workshop circuit. why do you want to be on the workshop circuit, and how can you get there? And give yourself a timeline. It really helps to make small goals to reach larger goals and to be really aware of why you want to do the things that you're doing. Because if you're not sure, you'll get burnt out really easily.
I've experienced that myself. Not so much in promotion, but in other things. So I second that. All right. So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, how to figure out if this is right for you and if you're ready. But let's start talking about the how-to. So how is marketing different in your local area versus outside of it?
We'll talk about how they're different, and there's some ways that they're also the same. One way that marketing in your local area is different is that you can literally reach out and touch your most important marketing tool, which is your fellow dancers, your students, your fellow dance instructors. You can meet them at a coffee shop and give them flyers in their hands to give to their students. You can attend that local Hofla and see their students and stand up for a minute and talk about what your event is and get those flyers in their hands and have that one-on-one time with them, with your ideas and your message and what you think you have to offer them. When you are marketing on a broader scale, because you're not having that one-on-one interaction, because you're not, you know, I can't say this event is all about us bringing down the walls between tribal and cabaret and having a big old Southern revival and having a great time. I can't say that to them face to face. So my marketing has to be more targeted in terms of a brand, an idea that your pictures, in terms of your postcards and posters, and your, if you decide to do a commercial, that all say what you would say to them in person if they were a local dancer. Visually, context, the words you use, whatever that you feel like you have to offer, that's your brand. Do it in two sentences or less. So that's the difference, is that you just have to have it. It's the difference between being just a person, like, hey, my name's Dira, and I like to hang out with my local belly dancers, and being a brand that's recognized easily.
And are there ways that they're the same?
Well, yes, because you are, if you're a belly dancer, you are your brand. You are, you know, the brand represents you. You know, the East Coast Classic is representative of what I think is important in belly dance, of what I think is great about the spirit of collaboration and community that we share, which is a huge centerpiece of what the East Coast Classic is all about. So your brand is yourself. It's just a faster way to communicate that than, you know, standing around over, you know, a glass of wine, chatting, you know, for a few minutes at a local Hofla.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the techniques that dancers can use to market themselves non-locally?
Things like this. being a part of a podcast is a fantastic way to be able to speak to a larger audience in your local community. Going to events that you feel like are receptive and will give you kind of a lot of bang for your buck in terms of dancing and attending there. And a part of it, and I know it sounds kind of hippy-dippy, but it's to sort of open your heart to people, because that rings true, saying, hey, you know, I'm here and I feel that I have something to offer this dance and I want to be the best dancer I can be. it really reads through to people.
And, you know, when folks go to festivals or other events outside of their local area, you know, sometimes they can feel like these, like, you know, big marketplaces full of people and everybody's rushing past you. You know, how can you use those opportunities to make connections that can lead to other opportunities?
Slow down. When you're at a big event, don't feel like you have to go to every single thing or shop till you drop. Spend some time in the restaurant. Walk up to some people that you don't know and say, hey, can I sit down? You might make a new friend or a new contact. And when you're in those, you know, when you're in the classes, when you're taking workshops, you know, oh, hey, you know, you did that move really great. I was really struggling with it. It can be a great way to spark up a conversation. Be open. It's not a cattle call when you go to these weekend events. It's a chance for you to be joyous and learn and be with your fellow dancers. Try to think of it as a way to commune with other dancers as opposed to a goal-oriented, I must do all the things event. Because if you slow down, then the people around you will slow down. And that's where you get to make connections with your fellow dancers.
And I think that connection is so important. You know, in a lot of cases, you know, people will extend opportunities to the people that they like and the people that they connected with, not necessarily the people who, you know, they saw on stage and said, wow, she has great moves.
Right. That is very, very true. That person that you saw her on stage and then you were sitting in the restaurant and you walked over and you said, man, you did a really good job. And she said, oh, well, you know, let's sit down. And you wind up having this great conversation and you really get to know that person. That's one of the best times that I've met dancers that I've really enjoyed spending time with. And then also at smaller events, that's why I'm there. I'm there to, you know, as a producer, I'm there to see other dancers. I'm there to enjoy their company. I'm there to get to know their community and to take the time to be receptive to what they, you know, have to offer.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, online marketing and promotion is kind of the big thing these days. Is that something that you have specific recommendations for when we're talking about marketing outside your local area?
I think that whatever social media or online marketing tools that you're using, you want to make sure that they fit with your brand. Because once you've gone online, you are now a brand. Because it's not really you. People aren't actually talking to you. They're typing to you. Or, you know, there's the remove of the screen. And the words and the pictures or whatever it is that you're transmitting. So whatever you do, you want it to look like you, like who you are. You know, if someone was to meet me based on seeing my marketing materials, they would be like, yeah, that's totally Nadira. Because I'm fun and I'm laid back and I have a heart for belly dance. And that's exactly what my events are like. And that's what my marketing is. Those are the words I use. So that's important. So know what you're putting out there, number one, when it comes to online marketing. And make sure that you are using those tools for your best effect. I've taken some courses on online marketing and social media, to educate myself, because for me, you know, I don't mind promoting whatever it is I'm doing because I think it's awesome, but I do want to do it in a way that is going to be the most targeted and give me the most payoff. So infographics, when to use certain online marketing tools, when not to, what kind of content to put on them, when, are all an important part of that if you're going to use online marketing.
And do you have any specific tips around those questions?
I
know that could be a whole episode in itself.
Well, there are some things I would say that if you haven't been using any online marketing tools, one of the best ones that you can start with is a email list for your newsletter. It's very easy. If you're already teaching classes and you're like, I'd like to be able to reach my students more regularly, you can just ask them for their email so that you can let them know if class gets canceled at the last minute, or, you know, if, you know, you get sick, or, you know, to give them additional information about links to buy Zills or whatever. So that's a great way to get started. And then you can also build that list as you go out into your local community. Normally I do a free raffle where I just have pieces of jewelry out and I'm like, hey, you want to enter in a free raffle? And I give them a free raffle ticket, and I'm like, well, you know, we'd love to be able to contact you because we're at, like, a street festival where there's, like, cotton candy machines and things. So if you could give us your email or your business card so we could contact you if you win, that'd be great. And then you raffle off, and you email the person, and say, oh, you can come by the studio and pick it up, and you put, you know, the person who won it in the newsletter, and that can be a great way to build your email marketing list for when you send newsletters, because newsletters are a great way to reach people who really are interested in your product. You can also be using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine. There's so many different ways, depending on what style of belly dance you do and what you are marketing, that are going to be fantastic. If you are a restaurant dancer who is looking to do more restaurant dancing, please be on Instagram all day long. It's great. It's great for that purpose. If you do weddings, it's great to be on Instagram. For me, it's great for the studio. If you are looking to build relationships more with people, like say you want to start teaching like a lot of workshops and you want to kind of get to know these other producers and people that will be hiring you, Facebook can be a great way because you have a lot more interaction with them. Twitter certainly has its place because it is like an information marketplace. And so, you know, following some people who do some of the things you do can be a great way for you to follow other people and be able to get a lot of information out that way. I think the only thing I wouldn't suggest when it comes to social media marketing is, and I do this sometimes myself, and I tell myself I'm not going to, but then I do it anyway, because it is super easy to do, is that each one of these social media marketing tools is for something different. So sometimes, you know, we'll be like, I'm so tired of doing social media. I don't want to have to think of something different to say on Facebook than to say on Twitter. And that comes across to the people who are reading your posts. Mm-hmm. They want, on Facebook, they want to know, what are you thinking? Like, what are you really thinking? And they'll take a minute to read what you have to say if it's interesting. On Twitter, they want something pithy and funny and maybe a little snarky. On Instagram, they just want a beautiful picture of you in the now, almost like you're moving through space. They're all different things. And so treat them that way as you market yourself.
I have never thought of that before. You know, I've thought a lot about the, okay, well, what's good for, like, quickie announcements, but just the what people are looking for when they get there, that's a really big deal. You and I should talk about another appearance in a few months. I like this idea. I try and space out the same people by at least 6 months, so it's going to have to be a while, but don't let me forget this because this is a good one.
It has really, being aware of that has really helped me to increase my reach rather quickly for my events, being what people are looking for on that particular vehicle.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we've been talking online marketing. We talked a little bit about, meeting people at festivals. Are there any like follow-up steps or anything that you recommend? So once you've met people and made these great connections and maybe even made some good friends, finding the opportunities that stem from that?
Oh, absolutely. First, you make sure you get their name and get their business card, if they have a business card or a postcard, and friend them on the Facebook, find them on the Twitter, find them on the Instagram. That's a great way to keep up with people. It's also, I find it's really nice to send a little note. Hey, it was really, and you can just be a post on their page, or it could just be a, something you send, as a direct message to them. It was great seeing you at this thing. Because say for me, when I'm, if I'm doing a lot of events very closely together, it's really nice when someone says, this is Jessica from that thing. It was great talking to you about how much we like red sequins over white. It makes you memorable. And I do the same thing when I contact somebody. It was so great talking to you about this particular thing. I really like the way you think about this subject or whatever it was you guys spoke about, to reinforce that connection that you just made.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I love a card. I'm not going to lie. I love a card. When I work with instructors, some of the instructors that I really adored working with, they're all wonderful. So they will send me the sweetest card, and I'll be like, it'll go on my mantle, and it makes me think about them and how great they are. Oh, my! One of my instructors, Beauchance from Germany, she was one of our first-year instructors. She gave me a bottle of schnapps. Here's the best part of this story. My husband and I are like, man, we're going to try this real German schnapps. Like, wow, isn't that great? So we're actually laying in bed passing the bottle of schnapps between us. When we notice that on the bottle is her card with her contact information and a beautiful picture of her. On the shops. Brilliant marketing.
It should be like pasted on the bottom so you see it when you finish.
It was so awesome. I was like, yeah, great job. Great, great job.
Mm-hmm. And you figure, it's just like writing, a dedication when you give somebody a book for a present, Hope you enjoy it. Love, so-and-so.
It was perfect. All her contact information, a beautiful photo, is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And another, and this is, I don't know if you're going to get this part or not, but I also always appreciate when people send me well-organized media kits. It is not pushy in the world of belly dance to send your media kit and say, I am available for the time of your XYZ, or I would love to work with you. Here is what I teach, here are the dates I'm available, here's video, and here are beautiful pictures.
That's so true. Especially, I can't remember who brought this up. Another guest on my show brought it up a couple shows ago, and I'm completely blanking on who it was. Whoever you are, if you're listening, I'm really sorry. But the two biggest things there are, one is it shows how professional you are, and that bodes really well for the rest of the experience. But the other thing that this other person brought up is that it makes it easy for them to work with you, right? If you give them all the information really well organized, they don't have to do as much work to make it happen. So you're not asking them for as much of their time.
Yes. And it just means that you're going to have a better experience, just because it will be less, chasing people down for, drips and drips of information. I always enjoy that when I, somebody sends me their, sort of CV. I'm like, yay, thank you so much. I really appreciate you sending me your digital media kit. And even if that person may not be right for, that year, they might be right for a workshop. Like, I've often, been like, well, I kind of had a theme or there was something else going on for maybe another event. But I've often called that person back and been like, hey, can I bring you in for a workshop? Because, I really like what you're doing. Because I know everything I need to know, super professional. I know they'll be easy to work with.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I want to take another kind of leap back. You mentioned that, you know, one of the things that you can do is to come on shows like this, right?
Yes.
And that's very true. You know, getting yourself onto onto a show or doing a guest post on somebody else's blog is really helpful. Mm-hmm. But the flip side is also true. You know, every time I do one of these shows, my guest circle learns that I exist, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody who, you know, is listening to this because you know Nadira, you know, now you know that I exist. And so, you know, if you're worried that you may not be able to get a spot in on a show like this, you know, make your own. You know, invite other people, you know, help promote them. You get your name out at the same time, you know, you build lots of great connections. I absolutely love everybody that I've interviewed with. You know, so even apart from the promotional benefit, it's just great to meet people. So, you know, you can be the one who's going out there and helping other people promote with your name on it too.
Cross-promotion is everything. One of the biggest reasons that we were able to really grow the East Coast Classic so very quickly was because I believe in collaboration and cross-promotion. I am so fortunate that all of the other producers of festivals here on the East Coast and on the West Coast have been incredibly kind and have, you know, it's been very easy for me to get in, you know, ads in their event ad calendars. It's been, you know, they've been very supportive of, you know, even putting in a link to my event on their newsletter, and me doing the same for them. So that is that you really cannot, you know, overstress the importance of cross promoting with your fellow belly dancers, because it makes everyone rise.
Absolutely. All right. So, you know, stepping forward a little bit into this how do we do it issue, you know, do you use the same techniques if you're marketing to your region versus to the whole country, or if you're trying to get onto the international circuit, or do you use different techniques?
I use different techniques because in my region, because I do try to travel fairly consistently, I'm pretty well known and people know what to expect. And they like, you know, what they've known of me and what they've attended before. And so I kind of have a little bit of a leg to stand on. For national events, maybe they've never met me before. And so I have to be much more targeted, even down to what I'm wearing when I go to a national event, so that even though they've never met me, they can see what I'm about from the words that I say, from the way I present myself, to the postcards or business cards in my hand. All of it says this is who I am and this is what I have to offer. And it only just takes a little bit of thought to be able to do that, because these people don't know you and you have limited amount of time to kind of say, this is who I am and this is why what I do could be important to you and why it could be something you could be a part of.
And what are some of the common mistakes that dancers make when they try and promote themselves in this bigger world?
Inconsistency. I think that would be the biggest one. And we've all fallen prey to this. You know, you show up at some event and you're like, I really want to talk about, you know, you hiring me for workshops, but you don't have a business card with your phone number on it. Or you've run out and you totally meant to get some before you left, but then you didn't have time because you needed to fix that strap on your costume. So consistency, being consistent with every time I go to an event, I'm going to be prepared with, for me, I have a bag that has raffle tickets, the email list, a printed win a free weekend at the East Coast Classic raffle, some postcards, and free t-shirts. And it's all in the bag. I just pick it up. going to take it out with me. And I actually have three bags because I have one for when I'm promoting Seven Cities Dance Studio, when I'm doing local like wine festivals and things like that in our area. I have a bag for that. When I'm teaching workshops, I have a separate one for that. So, you know, you should be consistent. And that's just a little bit of organization, a little bit of system building can go a long way toward helping you build the consistency that you are looking for. And also, I met this person. I need to make sure to interact with that person. Write it down so they don't forget you.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to taking questions soon. But before we do that, is there anything that you wanted to tell the listeners about that I didn't ask you? Anything that you think that's important for them to know?
I think that one of the things that, you know, as if you're getting out there as a troupe, as a soloist, or as an event promoter, deciding how you want to be perceived by your audience is a really important step. And the way that you find that is by deciding what you have to offer as a troupe, what you think is special about your troupe, what you think is special about you as a soloist, what you think is special about your events. And really try to stick with that and try to come up with that before you print those postcards, before you have that photo shoot, before you start that Facebook fan page, so that your idea and your of who you are and what you have to offer can be really clear for your target audience. It'll take you a long way to have that clarity.
And if people take one thing away from this call, what should it be?
Wherever you want to be in dance, you can be. And it's all wonderful. It's great to be a dancer who dances occasionally at Hoslo's and takes a weekly class and it loves learning props. It's great to be a dancer who occasionally travels to regional Hoslo's and gets to meet other people who love what you love. It's great to be a workshop instructor. All of those things are a necessary part of the community, and they're all important and they're all valued.
And if people want to learn more from you, how can they do that?
They can contact me. I am Nadira at Seven Cities Dance. SevenCitiesDance.com is the name of the webpage for my studio. They can also contact me at staff@eastcoastbellydance.com because I am also the producer of the East Coast Classic. And there's lots of communication that goes on there, and I respond very quickly on my staff@eastcoastbellydance.com email because I'm answering lots of questions. Everyone's very excited about having Jelena and Sharon Kahara as well as Kareem Nagy this year.
And tell us when that's going to happen.
January 22nd through the 24th, 2016.
Excellent. And how can folks register?
You can go to www.eastcoastbellydance.com. You can go to /workshops to go straight to the workshops. You can just go to eastcoastbellydance.com and check out the competition. You can sign up for the competition. You can get tickets. You can check out some bios of our instructors. We're really excited. We've increased our lineup of instructors and really very excited about this third year of having a fantastic event that includes everyone, all styles of dance, and lots of fun.
Great. Well, let's go ahead and open it up for questions. So if there's anybody who's on the webcast and wants to ask a question, you can type that in using the little question box on the right-hand side. So the button looks a little bit like a speech bubble, and that will pop out a little panel where you can type your question. If you're on the phone or on Skype, you can unmute yourself by pressing star star. So if you're on a phone, it's just star star on your phone. But if you're on Skype, it's star star on the Skype keypad. So you have to actually open up the keypad and type and press star star on your screen, not on your keyboard. So if anybody would like to ask Nadira a question, we would love to hear from you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, it's Kay. How are you, Nadira?
Hi. Oh, how are you? It's good to hear
good.
Your voice.
And there's two Nadira. So hi, oh, how are both of you? Thank you, Nadira. You gave me a lot of great information, and I really appreciate that. My question is twofold because you said some really great things. One is about perception, and you said that, you know, you've had some, you know, definitely accept my condolences. I'm talking about, like, you, like, the perception in being, you've had some trying times. I don't know your trying times in the dance, but in the case of people are trying to, like, warp your perception, like, you're trying to put on an event, and there you have a competing person that's also trying to put on an event. So they're doing things to change other people's perception of you. Mm-hmm. And how do you sort of keep the perception that you're trying to give out, but at the same time be a real person? Because people are, like, they're just talking trash about you. They're saying, she's not as nice as she pretends to be. And in mm-hmm. your personal life, you wouldn't tolerate that. But mm-hmm. you're in a profession here. This is a professional situation. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can't really tolerate people just making stuff up about you. You know, does that make sense what I'm saying or no?
Yeah, I think any time that you find yourself growing in your career, that means that you're going to interact with more people. Well, I will have to say, by and large, my interactions are largely positive with other dancers. Any time that you are growing, you will have, you know, dancers that maybe have differing opinions or differing visions of what they think the dance, you know, you should be doing in your dance career and what they should be doing in their own dance career. And this is the part where the branding comes in, because when it comes to, you know who you are, and I would hope that before you would approach anything as sort of daunting as the yes, I was picked or yes, I wasn't picked for, you know, teaching workshops, because I teach workshops. So there's all, you know, all of that sort of putting yourself out there and all that, that you would say, you know, this is who I am and this is my brand. And while you are your brand, it is not actually who you are in your personal life, not completely. Mm-hmm. So being aware that if your brand is that, you know, I'm a person who is super likable and very professional. My events start and end on time. I bring people together. I'm a person who builds community. Then you stay on track with your brand.
Smart.
Stay the course, because you know that, that maybe that's what brought you into belly dance. For me, you know, being a community builder is a huge part of what I do as a dancer and as a producer. And so for me, when there are conflicts within the community or on a larger scale regionally, I just come back to that. I am a community builder. And I know why I'm here and what my goals are. You stay focused on what you're going to be doing and what's important. And all of those other concerns or people, they'll keep doing what they're doing, but you'll know that you're doing what's right for you and your business.
And the other part is because I've begun traveling, and you know my personality pretty well, Nadira, but my question sometimes is I find it difficult to, like, know when I'm fitting in and when I'm not, because, like, there are festivals that have many different styles. You know, my style's, you know, modern Egyptian. And I have a tendency, when I have events, I have a lot of different dancers at my events. So I'm used to connecting with tribal dancers. I'm used to connecting with fusion dancers. It's just natural for me here in New York. But sometimes when I go to other events, I wonder, why am I not connecting as easily? Is it because I'm new in town? Is it because they think I'm competitive? Is it because they see my presentation as this uber modern Egyptian dancer and there's different circles where they are? Is it because they're just a close-knit community and are not interested in having new people in their community? So sometimes these are questions that I ask myself, and like, should I return to that community or should I just let the positive impression that I tried to make be there and let it go?
Well, I think that the what we were talking about earlier about the follow-up, you know, mm-hmm. when you sort of make that connection and you're like, you know, it was really great talking to you about XYZ. And then when you follow up with that person, when you, you know, find them on Facebook, write their name down, find them on Twitter, and then you can be like, man, it was really great talking to you about XYZ. Because you'll find that people one-on-one will be a lot more receptive than mm-hmm. when in groups. And you will find that just that personal connection, hey, it was really great talking to you about this specific thing that we really connected on, that person will really, you know, be like, oh, wow, it was really cool talking to you. And other people are your greatest advertisement. Oh, you know, she was really cool. You know, she contacted me after the event, and she was super sweet. And you do that with each person that you met, and you start to make a network in that community. So we, you know, we go to these events and we all are, hey, how are you? And we're all wearing sparkly dresses. But then you bring it back to the personal, whether it's I contacted them on Facebook, I sent them my newsletter. Then you want to make the connection, because there's no reason to talk at people. In terms of, you know, for me, I'm always like, okay, I've met everyone and I've done the thing and I've waved, but then I'm more interested in making that personal connection later. And I can tell you're that way too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll just have to follow up more often. Thank you. Those mm-hmm. are my questions. How do I get back on mute so that I'm not disturbing you guys?
I'll put you back on mute, but those are great questions, Kay. Thank you.
They were.
All right, so I'm going to put Kay back on mute. If you do think of anything else that you want to ask later, feel free to unmute yourself again. And in the meantime, everybody else, if you want to ask a question, you can press ** on your phone or your Skype keypad, or type that in on the screencast box on the right side. If you don't have a question, I would be especially interested in hearing what your favorite tidbit was from this call. Your favorite thing that you learned, something that you want to try, or if you've used some of these techniques that Nadir has talked about and had good experiences with it, I would love to hear that too. So don't be shy. Go ahead and press ** to unmute yourself. Sometimes I feel like I should have, like, music while we wait for everybody to
I know, I was totally about to go no, I'm just kidding. I'm fine with whatever. I'm really excited because I'm able to connect with other belly dancers while wearing a really ridiculous muumuu and a turban, so I'm always excited.
All right,
I put the mute off because I can always talk. So I was like, if no one else is gonna talk, I try to be polite and let people talk. But if no one else is gonna talk, then I'm gonna always try to get the most out of the experience that you're gonna know about me. So
I do.
If someone
I
else
do.
Wants to talk, just feel free to unmute yourself. And you can, the other Nadira, feel free to say, Katrina, I'm gonna mute you for a second. So that's totally okay with me.
Okay. And I'll continue to be
you
here
know,
in my
You we did actually get somebody else who raised their hand at the exact same time. So I'm going to take you up on your offer, Kay, but I promise we'll get to you again as well.
Okay, no problem. Go ahead.
All right. So we had the caller from North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi. Are you still there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Fantastic. I was being super safe by putting it on mute on my phone as well.
It's like, I'm gonna be quiet.
I already told you I was wearing my muumuu and my turban. There's no reason to be super safe at this point.
I'm in my pajamas, so we're all in the same place.
Perfect.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. I love that. Yeah, I'm in about the same. So I'm Sarah Sahara. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina. I am about 6-7 years into my dance experience and just finally starting to have that kind of people are recognizing me regionally thing, which is super intimidating because the first thing that I go to, and I'm sure a lot of other dancers go to, is I'm not good enough. You know,
I've seen you dance. You're fabulous.
Ah! Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. What advice do you have for those of us who are definitely having those feelings of doubt?
And this is when it comes back to, what do you think you have to offer this dance? Or what has this dance done for you?
Oh my gosh,
because
so much.
The reason it has, right? For all of us.
Yeah.
I know for me, I mean, it's saving my life right now. So in that, within that context, when you have those moments of doubt, remember why you're doing it. Why are you at the hafla? Why are you putting yourself out there? Because you know that you have something to offer. You know that you received something that you can give back now.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't let it be about whether or not your costume was the sparkliest or if your hip drop was the best, but about remembering whatever happened, I represented what I feel like I have to offer this dance.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You don't mind me chiming in too. I have very frequently felt that same way. And when I had been dancing for about the same amount of time that you have, that's when I started my video podcast series that I did that I haven't actually done in 7 years. and I had a really hard time with it because the project was, you know, I was doing research on like the elements of dance composition. So what things go into dance and make it interesting. And the whole thing came about because I bought 3 different instructional videos thinking that I was going to get that and I didn't find it. And so I realized that nobody had made the resources that I need, so I figured I would just do the research myself. And if I was going to bother, maybe I'd share that too. And I had a lot of, you know, oh, who am I to do this? I'm not that good yet. You know, I've been dancing for 6 years, so, you know, I was out there. I was, you know, getting paid to dance, so it wasn't even like I was a beginner.
Right.
But I still had that feeling like, you know, if I'm not the best in town, then I'm not good enough. And one of the things that really helped me was to think of myself like a grad student. And I don't know if this metaphor resonates with everybody, but, you know, a grad student is somebody who is not a professor yet, doesn't even have a job yet, but has learned enough that they have something to share. So you don't need to be like the world's biggest expert on something, but you own whatever it is that you know or whatever it is that you have to contribute and just pass it on and help other people learn it. Or, you know, share if you're more performance focused, you know, share whatever it is that you love about the dance, which is kind of getting back to Nandira's point. But I think thinking of that, you know, kind of grad student image really took a lot of the pressure off for me. So that, you know, grad student may not work for you, but maybe there's another similar role that you could imagine yourself in that helps you, you know, kind of be proud of what you do have to offer, even if it's not necessarily international class yet. Because that will come
right.
later.
Right. Well, hard work. I love what you said, own what you know. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other piece of that, too, is that, you know, what you have to offer doesn't have to be completely and totally unique to be valuable to people.
Okay.
That was a little bit of an aside. Did I cut you off, Nadira? I don't know if you had more to say on that.
No, that was a wonderful, like, all together statement. It was very seamless. I love it.
Thanks. All right. And did you have anything else you wanted to ask while we've got you?
That's it. Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put you on mute, and I'm going to take Kay back off mute. All right, Kay, can we hear you?
Yeah.
Kay.
All right, go for it.
The question that you had asked was, what did I find the most valuable about what Nazira said? And I really like the slowing down at the festival, because I think I'm a goal-oriented person naturally, and I do, like, when I came in, the dance people were like, well, what's your goal? What's your goal? I didn't really have a real, like, clear goal. I just loved dancing and took every opportunity I could take to dance. But now that I'm growing, I'm thinking, oh, you should be clear about what you're doing, why you're doing this, what is your goal right now? Because you're growing, you're doing a lot more things, and it seems like there's a lot more things being offered to you. So I really enjoyed her concept of, like, slowing down. And when you're at a festival, like, make sure you're really connecting with people. You know, I connect with people in New York, like, very clearly and personally. And, like, that's something that I always do. But when I'm at festivals, like, out of state, I don't know if I always, like, make that a part of my agenda. And I think sometimes people get a different impression of me. And lately, as I've been going to things, I've been trying to slow down and even, like, trying to get in a gala show so that people can connect with me, not just as a competitive dancer, you know, but as a, you know, a person that has fun dancing in the gala show too. But I think I'm going to extend that based on what Nazira said, like, really go up to introduce myself to people, even if I think they're tribal dancers and they're not going to want to talk to me. You know, so
yeah,
we're all
belly dancers in the end.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I totally understand that. And also,
and I really enjoyed talking with you at the East Coast Classic, by the way.
I did too. That was like one of the best moments of the whole festival. And I was just like, because I remember I asked myself, I told you, I asked myself, why am I here? And then after we finished talking, I was like, oh, that's why I'm here. You know, and I really had a great time. And I think that, like, that's something that from this call you reminded me of. It's like, hey, like, you have more to offer than just, you know, smooth moves, you know, on stage. Like, offer yourself as a person. Like, open yourself up as a person more. And I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. Because that's kind of scary for me. When I'm not, like, in the, you know, when you're in your circuit, you're in your community, you feel like people know you, so it's easier. But when you're going to different places and you're not sure, you know, you want to interact with them in a way that you're sure about. And dancing on stage for me is a way to be sure about interacting with people. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, darling.
Excellent. Thanks, Kay. Is there anything else you want to ask, you want to say while we've got you?
I'll give someone else the floor. If no one else wants to talk, I can chime back. You can unmute me again.
All right, I'm going to put you on mute for now. All right, if anybody would like to ask a question or share their favorite tidbit, go ahead and press **. Or if you're listening to the webcast, you can type that into the box at right, and I'll read it for you.
Hi, this is Awilpa.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you? I have a question about pricing. When you're doing promotions regionally or nationally, I mean, how do you get that across to the person that you want to get that gig from? Because I notice in, you know, regionally that a lot of dancers do these shows together, but they're not paying them. And there are lots and lots of dancers there. And other dancers that I know, they kind of, you know, don't like that, because we all complain about, well, you know, if I'm going to do a gig for someone, they should pay for it. And so that also would move on to and obviously apply to doing workshops nationally, et cetera. So how do you approach both venues, both types of, you know, gigs as far as getting paid? That's just because it seems that among dancers, professional dancers in the city, they don't usually pay each other. And so some people just don't particularly like that. I mean, there are dancers that do, you know, and you know, I frequent those just because it's a different kind of thing between each other, I guess, you know, something that we do for each other. But then there are others that, for me, if I want to frequent the event for free, it's for a particular reason. Say it's, you know, like a charity or something like that. You know, I'll pick and choose those. But in general, I just want to know, how do you approach that to try to change it a little bit more among professionals and locally, and how to, you know, promote yourself better at a workshop event when you're trying to do that? I mean, what do you charge, and, you know, how do you get there?
So one of the best ways to start out is sort of knowing what the rates are for your area for different events. How much are people charging in your area for a birthday party versus how much do they charge for a weekly restaurant versus how much do they charge for a corporate gig? What do they charge by the hour per set, whatever. Educating yourself about what the rates are in your area for different events is very important, because then that's how you can sort of start to decide where you fit in within that pricing.
Right, but all
so
that,
that's,
sorry, oh, just all that I know about, but it's
okay.
the gig, I'm specifically targeting the gig that you do when say someone calls you up and says, you know, we have 10 dancers, we're going to do a show, can you join us? And so you say, what are you paying? And you know almost everyone there is a professional dancing. They usually say they don't pay you. You know, and I'm not asking this for myself because I've done this for a long time already, and you know, I pick and choose my events. But I have students and semi professionals that ask me this question, and of course things change. So I don't know what's the answer in today's dance world. You know,
well, I think you were really. Yeah, I think you're really smart in saying that, you know, it depends on the event. Like if it's for a charity event, you pick and choose. If it's something that is more like a Hofla where, you know, there's performances, but it's all very informal, that's another, you know, a situation where you would maybe not expect to be paid. If it's a, you know, a show that is ticketed and it's, you know, somewhere is that a paid gig? And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, if this isn't a paid event, I don't want to be a part of it. And I think it's really great to be able to outline those to your students to say, you know, as sort of like a little bit of belly dance professional ethics for them to say, you know, these are the gigs that it's okay to say yes to if they're unpaid. These are the gigs that are kind of a judgment call, and these are the gigs I would not take unpaid.
Right.
Because, you know, we can all sort of go, well, you know, if it's, you know, a Hofla for blah, blah, blah's birthday and I'm not doing anything, maybe I'll go do it. But I absolutely wouldn't go dance at a restaurant for free.
Right, but I hear this a lot. I'm hearing it a lot. I've been dancing for 20 years already, so, you know, I've like, my water is under the bridge already for the most part. But
it's great that you're telling your students this, because a lot of times where the discrepancy is that a lot of teachers don't talk to their students about professional ethics within the belly dance world. Because unfortunately, unlike many other professions, we don't have a professional organization that represents us. So we don't have sort of a, this is how much things are, or, you know, maybe based on region. It's all sort of like, we're all like the wild, wild west.
Exactly.
So the fact that you're talking to your students about professional ethics and what, you know, is appropriate and what isn't appropriate, it not only speaks well to you as a teacher, but it's also going to really help them to not get burnt out.
Right, and I have one knocking on my door telling me that. Absolutely do. It's sad. It's a sad commentary to people if they don't inform their students. I mean, I started a Facebook page based on mentoring, and I'm just trying, hopefully I'm going to get around to like working a lot more on it, just mm-hmm. because I want people to open up their students as to what's really going on out there, how to approach things easily.
Yeah, that's great.
I get a lot of complaints.
And that's the way to be, you know, because the most important thing, whenever I see something that, you know, maybe I feel like isn't really healthy for my community, is I try to be the change that I want to see. And that's what you're doing. Right. You're trying to be the change that you want to see and continue doing that and standing in that truth.
Right. It's very hard because I see, like, show after show after show, and this, you know, students of mine or semi-professional friends of mine, they tell me they don't pay, and they say they don't want to continue in it because they can't get paid, and they, you know, they get a call, say, hey, come on, and whatever, and do this. And then versus when I say to them, oh, yeah, I'm doing the show, and, you know, for this five-minute piece I'm doing, they're paying me for the five-minute piece. And they're like, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's because it's different when you started in the 90s versus starting now. Everything is different.
I agree.
And
I agree.
It is
definitely different.
It's very different. You know, you have online marketing. You have all kinds of things. And back then, there was emailing. There were agents. There were people who mentored me. You know, I'm grateful for the mentors and agents that just sat there and taught me things. I mean, I had an agent that sat there and taught me how to play zills in her house, and she was a flamenco dancer, you know.
Awesome.
It was just amazing of how, you know, different people through time get all this experience. But it's
And now
it's
you
really
get to
bothering.
Kind of pass that along, which is great.
Yeah.
That's a unique opportunity.
Yeah. So just, you know, it's bothering my mind, like how they can try to change the thought process to
it starts
saying,
with what you're doing right now. What you're doing right now is how you do it. Talking about it, getting it out there, making choices, making sure that your students and your semi-professional students know that they have choices. The fact that you're, you know, doing mentoring, all of that is how you are able to raise the professional standards for this dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you're at a really good point in your career with your experience to be able to do that.
Right. And as I was listening to this whole conversation, I think I need to put you guys on my page and get you linked in there. I hope you don't mind. I appreciate your help.
Oh yeah, no, I'm here for you, and I hear the frustration, and I totally understand. But I think you sound like someone who's just very knowledgeable, who understands the ins and outs of it, and that you have a lot to offer. And so, sort of go with that, expand with that idea of laying it out there. Because a lot of times dancers don't want to talk about money; they don't want to talk about longevity. They don't want to talk about rates.
No,
I know when I started I don't know, maybe the other Nadira could provide a link maybe, or I could send you one. I have a blog that is, I started a belly dance kind of guild in my area.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult to get our professional dancers to the table, but they did come. And the first thing I started off with was Samira Sharuk, who's a Washington, D.C. dancer.
Amazing.
Fantastic. She's an amazing,
amazing
dancer, incredible professional. She had something called Samira Sharuk's Rates by Region.
I just printed them out,
and I brought them to the meeting. And it was a great way to sort of open up the conversation. And then, because these are all professionals and teachers that are at these kinds of meetings, then they take this information back to their students. And that's not to say that it has been easy and that it has not been a struggle in our own local community, but now at least we're working from a place of knowledge. And nothing happens overnight, but just starting from that place of knowledge, you're already winning the battle.
You gave me more inspiration to just push forward as I wish to.
Yes,
push forward, inspire other people. Sounds like you've had some wonderful experiences. Yeah, I mean, inspire other people. It sounds like you've had some great experiences and really have a heart and a love for this dance.
Yes, I do. I keep pushing, even those who want to quit, say, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep driving forward. You know, something's going to happen. I heard someone once say that if you don't go to some place where you think you don't belong, you never know that if you go, there's someone there that's going to see you and say, oh, I see what you're doing. Come over here. Show me what you can do. I've got something for you. And I always remember that when I start not to want to go somewhere or I get too tired to go, I think, you know, I better go to that party, that dance party or that gig or workshop, whatever, because that may happen.
You know? You're absolutely right. That's awesome. I like that. That's going to be my quote, too, then.
Yeah, be there. Be there or you'll never be seen. You'll never be seen. You'll never be, you know, pointed out and say, hey, she's has got something to offer. You know, watch her or she's going to grow or you've given something to somebody by just being there, you know.
Some of your words are very encouraging.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was a great question. Thank you.
You're welcome, Dara.
All right. So we're getting pretty close to 90 minutes, but I will take one more question if anybody's got one. So go ahead and press star to unmute yourself.
Wow, this has gone really quickly.
I know.
It's been awesome.
Good questions do that.
Yeah, like really great questions. I always forget, you know, how much, sometimes you forget how much you know about something.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start talking about it. And you're like, yeah, there's all these things I've learned, you know, from classes and trial and error. This has been a fantastic experience. If anyone has any questions, I'm here. I'm still in my moon.
All right, we've got Toria.
Hello?
Hi.
I'm sorry, I wrote some questions down and I typed them in, but I don't know if you see them or not. Do you see them?
Oh, there we go. I'm so sorry. They got blocked by a few different ones. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, can you read them? Because I have all my kids here, so it's really loud.
Sure. So Toria asked, did you want me to mute you again? Okay, so Toria asked, if you want to promote yourself as a workshop teacher in a unique topic, how do you convince an organizer to allow you to teach at their event if you're new and have no name?
Go to where she's going to be, or he. Go to where they're going to be. And showcase what you do. They will see you. Go right over to them. Introduce yourself. They'll be like, wow, that was really fresh and really different. I really enjoyed what you did. Fantastic. Contact them afterwards. It was really great meeting you. I really think you're doing great things. Make that personal connection. That's a great way. That's a really good question. Yeah, if you're doing something that maybe hasn't been seen before or maybe people don't know who you are, getting in front of your target audience, getting in front of people who hire dancers for workshops. I mean, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. One of the reasons that I hire the instructors and judges that I do for the East Coast Classic is because they are incredibly talented in their field, the best in the world, and I like to be able to bring them right to Louisville, Virginia, and because they are dancers who hire and work with other dancers. They have a festival of their own. They produce a traveling show. They have a troupe. They also own a dance studio that they are looking for instructors for. So, you know, it doesn't hurt
to do the competition, because our competition is, of course, not about trophies. I don't even give them, but about the opportunity to be seen by the people who will be hiring you for the next 15 years. There was a dancer, just anecdotal, there was a dancer who didn't place at the East Coast Classic this year. She was beautiful. She was a beautiful, beautiful dancer. And Donna Mejia saw her and said, I'd like to, can I get her information? Of course you can. That's exactly why she's here. And she said, you know, I'm doing an off-Broadway show, and I need an understudy. And so that young lady who didn't place in the competition didn't care because she got offered to be an understudy in an off-Broadway play that was starring Don Mejia, which is pretty epic. And so at the end of the day, it is about showcasing your talent to the maximum audience and then following up with a personal approach.
And it looks like there were a couple more questions that landed in the text box that I didn't see. Do you still have a few more minutes, Nadira?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Awesome. So Kata Yoon says, I love you both. Thank you. This is awesome.
She's an East Coast Classic instructor.
So Kata Yoon's question is, what advice would you give to dancers who are awesome teachers but not as tech savvy with social media or don't do a lot of performances or have videos online?
I would tell them that, as difficult as it is, make a checklist. Every time, and we all struggle with this, but make a checklist. Just like I have my little bag that has all of the things I need to have with me when I go out to an event, have a checklist. Write it down. I'm going to take one picture of myself before I go on, and I'm all sweaty. Or afterwards is fine. I've got plenty with my hair plastered to my face. I'm going to mention the event one time before I get there, even if it's when you're at the door. Making yourself do these things, bringing your camera and saying, you know, you can either arrange beforehand or, you know, find a fellow belly dance friend and say, can you please take a video clip with my phone? I will set it up for you. And it's really hard to do, but a lot of times we get offered opportunities. There's video of every show these days. A lot of times there is videography available, and we're like, oh, I don't want to pay $25 to do it. And it is an outlay, but much like if you were, you know, getting your professional photography so that you can, you know, put that as part of your digital media kit, perhaps that $25 to get that video will pay off in dividends, because then you can start a YouTube channel. And if you are not tech savvy, find yourself a young person, perhaps one of your students who's in college. It might be your 14-year-old. They can help you to establish a presence very easily with a Facebook fan page, with an Instagram account, with a YouTube channel, and with a Twitter account. And they're all free. They're free to sign up for. You can set up a schedule for when you post so it's not years off of your life, and you just be as consistent as you can possibly be about doing those things. If you're not tech savvy, it's totally fine. I don't think of myself as being super tech savvy, but I have to be for my job. But I definitely call in for the assist at any time. So find someone who will help you. There are plenty of people who will help you if you're not tech savvy to get and establish those accounts and show you how to post on them. You do a little bit of research about one of the best times to post on each one of whatever social media tools you choose to use, what times those are, create a calendar, and do that. And it will take some time, but with that consistency, you will grow videos, you will grow an Instagram page, you will grow a fan page that's full of your videos and
inspirational things, things that are important to you, your schedule, because you post about it at least once before the event, all of those things. But it definitely takes time.
All right. So Toria has a two-part question that she typed in. The first part is, how do you find hostels and shows outside of your area? And part two is, I know some hostels pay the headliner. How do you ask to be the paying headliner without sounding full of yourself? Do people even ask, or do they get asked?
Both. Both of those things are true. I'll answer the end of the question first. Both of those things are true. Sometimes you offer to pay. Sometimes that headliner will ask to be paid. And there's nothing wrong with asking. There's nothing, just like it's when someone sends me the digital media kit, I am so glad to see it. I'm like, thank you, my goodness. Thank you, thank you. It is not pushy to ask. The answer will be yes or it will be no. Either of those things are fine. And move on from there. But it's fine. It's always fine to ask. The other part of that question, when you are deciding about hostels to go to, I will let you in on a little secret, is that I base my travel schedule based on not just major metro areas, but on technology corridors and proximity to large universities. This is really going to help you save yourself a lot of going to things that aren't going to really get you where you want to go. So major metro areas are major metro areas for a reason. They have their hubs of industry, there's business headquarters, there are people with disposable incomes. So you should go to those places. Technology corridors are places where there is a lot of technology companies or technology industries. They're well marked out on, like, any, if you Google technology corridor, it'll show you where the technology corridors are and where the towns are that are associated with them. A technology corridor would be kind of like Silicon Valley. These are going to be people who are perhaps more educated, perhaps more interested, have the time to be interested in the arts. This could be great for you. Large universities, great place to go to a hafla. These are people who are excited. They may not have much money, but they may have time. A lot of them choose to stay in the area and get jobs in the area, and so stay in belly dance, but then are, you know, full-time employees and something that allows them to have disposable income and time. So that's sort of me opening up the, like, this is how to not waste your time. All places have value, but those places attract more people to them. And those are the places you're going to want to go to get the most kind of bang for your time. And as someone who is also a wife and a mother, I'm always very interested in maximizing my impact for the time that I'm spending. Mm-hmm. Was that a pretty concise answer, Nadir?
Sounds good.
The other Nadir?
All right. So we did actually have two more questions, but I think I am going to have to cut us off here since we are running a little bit long. Toria, you had two more questions. I think a great way to handle those might be to head back to the Belly Dance Geek Facebook group, and maybe we can keep discussing those there. Nadir, I think I've sent you an invitation. I don't know if you have time to reply there, but if so, we would love to have you. But I think we're going to have to call it a night. So thank you so much for coming, Nadira.
It's been wonderful. And, you know, in 6 months, I would love to come back and chat again. I have a lot more to offer about social media, using social media tools most effectively, and maximizing your time.
I would love to have you back. And special thanks to our sponsor, the Belly Dance Business Academy. If you'd like to learn how to build a more profitable dance business, get more students, and land bigger gigs starting right now, you can check them out at bellydancebusinessacademy.com. And thank you, everybody, for coming. This is the end of our call, but that doesn't mean that the conversation has to end. We've got a private Facebook group just for the Clubhouse members, so we can continue the discussion, handle any questions that we didn't have time to talk about tonight, share any more ideas that occur to us. I will be sending out an email shortly with a link to the invitation. Again, since it is a private group, I do have to approve everybody before you can start posting. So if you can't post immediately after you place your join request, don't worry, I will get to that. And the email will also include a link to the call recording, so if you want to go back through and take notes the next time around, as well as a link to some of Nadira's resources. I'll also ask for your feedback, so I've got a little survey link in there, because although I run the clubhouse, I really want it to be for all of us. So if there are any topics or speakers or improvements that you'd like to suggest, I would love to hear from you. Now, this was technically our August call, even though it's September 1st. I'm just kind of pretending that it's, you know, August 32nd. So we do have our regular September call coming up. That's going to be on Tuesday, September 29th at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And my guest, Kay Hardy Campbell, is going to be talking to us about Kalenji dance. I'm super excited. I've taken several workshops with her, and she is just a font of knowledge. She really knows her stuff, especially from the cultural end of things. So you can get all kinds of information that's hard to find. And the last thing is that this is the common in kind of clubhouse, not the no boys allowed kind. So if you know anybody who would enjoy it, you can invite them to join us at bellydancegeek.com/clubhouse. And until next time, happy dancing. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. For more geektacular resources, check out bellydancegeek.com.